Grace and peace, Mayflower, in the name of Jesus the Christ. A hearty welcome to all who gather for worship on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, including those who gather online. This service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer Kim Finneson, and special musicians Bruce Bonney and his wife Leslie DeYoung. They are from Grand Rapids, and Bruce is my cousin. Good-looking chap. You'll hear from them a little bit later. And today's liturgist is Lorraine Finneson. Well, next Sunday we'll begin our fall schedule, and we will resume Christian education program following the coffee hour most every Sunday. We'll keep you informed about that. But Reverend Art Ritter will be with us for much of this coming academic year, and we'll begin next week by presenting reasons why Christian education is important. Then on September 17th, we have the traditional rally day here at Mayflower, and it's a very special day indeed. It will commence with our usual worship service, including some very special and somewhat unusual special music, followed by an ice cream social in the parking lot of our church. Special music outside will be provided by the Wacoustics, if you know who they are. There are at least one or two members of the Wacoustics here this morning. You can find out about that if you don't know, and we will be entertained by our own very talented and resident clown, Bobsy Wobsy, making balloons for the kids and other things. Don't miss it. If you can be here, we will be inviting our neighborhood to join us for the event, which will be right out here in the parking lot. Bring your appetite for ice cream and all the toppings, including caramel. I hope karma will be part of it. Okay, that's good. We thought that construction would have already begun on our project. There was a little delay, but Jerry Fuller comes to tell us a little bit about the removal of that delay and a little bit of update on the lift project.
Good morning, everyone. You may have noticed we haven't started yet. There is a reason for that. We didn't realize that there was such a long process for the plan review, it's called by the city. They actually have to review our drawings and approve them. They have a department of people that, the electricians and mechanical people that have to look at it and actually give their stamp of approval to our drawings. So that delayed us about a week or two. And so, but now it has been approved. So I would expect you to start seeing some activity out there in the next week or so. So anyway, that's where we're at, and it's going to get done. It'll be done in time, I think, for the lift to actually arrive. It's been ordered and is being manufactured. So, hopefully they'll come together at the same time, and we'll get it done, early October. So anyway, that's where we're at. Any questions, let me know.
Deanne and I had a wonderful time on our vacation. Some of you have inquired, and Deanne became a mountain climber hiker. You'll have to ask her about that. She did very well up in the mountains. And while I was on vacation, I received a call from a person who was a bride a couple years ago who got married here in the Mayflower Church. I conducted the wedding. They had connections to Olivet College where they had met. They had congregational connections, and we provided everything they needed for a wonderful wedding. And then sadly, Jillian, who was the bride, her mother passed away very suddenly this last week, and they asked if they could do the funeral here. That'll be happening on Tuesday for the person whose name is Jadine Johnson. And so we're just asking if there are anybody available on Tuesday. The service will be at 11, but between about 12 and 1 following the interment at Mount Hope Cemetery, there may be a need for some servers or helpers or cleanup or whatever for the reception that the family is going to host in our Friendship Center. Our annual church picnic will be held on October 7th at the Fuller Farm, which will begin at 3 o'clock. The Fullers will be providing the meat, so don't ask the question, where's the beef? It'll be there. And if you are able, you are asked to bring a dish to pass. However, with Barb and Jerry's permission, everyone is encouraged to come, even if you are not able to bring a dish. So come, and we will have plenty of food, I'm sure. Weather permitting, there will be zip line rides, cornhole games, a hay ride with a Kubota tractor, diesel, and a campfire preparing s'mores. So always look forward to that. Don't forget choir and bell members. It all begins this Thursday, 4:15 for bells and 5:30 for choir practice. And then on behalf of our Mission and Outreach Committee, and in talking to Roger Kennedy this week, I would like to thank all of those who were able to respond to the invitation given by the Luton School across the street to assist in the meet and greet time with parents, students, and staff, and a couple who were able to assist the principal on the first day of school. I think that involved about a dozen people from Mayflower, and the principal, the new principal there, was overjoyed, and he says he has a lot more stuff coming up. So be prepared. It's a wonderful thing for us to be in partnership with our school right across the street. So thank you, Mayflower. We will be collecting disaster assist funds for the wildfires in Hawaii as well as Hurricane Idalia. All monies will be forwarded to our Congregational National Office as part of the One Great Hour of Sharing. So if you feel inclined and are able to do that, you can just designate your gift. These funds will be distributed to approved agencies with boots already on the ground in the massive effort to rebuild homes, communities, businesses, and lives. If you're a visitor today, we do not pass offering plates here at Mayflower, so we can all worship without the anxiety of obligation. And your presence in this service is a gift you have given to each other and to us. For those of you who have come with your pledge or project or free will offering of any type, there are receptacles at either entrance to the sanctuary. And as you may have observed, communion is observed here usually on the first Sunday of each month, which it will be today. It is always open communion. And as our Lord did, we welcome all of you to the table. Today's worship theme is From Solid Rock to Stumbling Block. That sounds like a history of my life. But it has to do, as you may know, with Peter in the gospel account. You'll hear that a little later. We will explore how Peter received a great commendation from the Lord for his declaration of faith, yet soon failed to understand the cost of turning his believing faith into the inevitable and dangerous intersection with the powerful political and religious forces that always resist the way of justice and righteousness. So now it is time to worship God. Let us do so.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Wouldn't you know, the last weekend of meteorological summer will be one of the warmest of the entire season. We hope all of you are enjoying this holiday weekend, and we hope this service of worship will be an enjoyable part of it. Labor Day is a holiday about which less is known and sometimes is little observed compared to Memorial Day or the 4th of July. On June 28, 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed a law making the first Monday in September of each year a national holiday. Labor Day recognizes the many contributions workers have made to America's prosperity and well-being. Let us remember, even in our worship, that many activists suffered and even died for the cause of improved working conditions, wages, and quality of life that many of us take for granted. Believe it or not, part of Jesus' suffering was his advocacy for those at the lowest end of the pay scale who worked for little pay and could not get ahead. Today in worship, we will explore the larger issue of suffering for the cause of Christ, to which all of us are called. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we thank you for the enjoyment of each of the seasons, even as our beautiful summer is coming to an end. We thank you for every opportunity we have taken to be with family, enjoy the outdoors, travel, or simply relax. We pray for those who cannot afford these blessings and ask that you would help us reach out with invitations to enjoy time with other members of your beloved community. We ask that even as we experience joy in worship and fellowship with each other on this day of rest, that you would help us understand why your beloved disciple Peter was so sharply criticized when he tried to save Jesus from impending crisis. Help us as we carefully examine the role that suffering plays in each of our lives. So bless each element of our worship as we pray, sing, listen, and reflect. May your spirit descend like a gentle dove, clearing our minds, opening our hearts, and changing our lives. This we pray boldly in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Yes. blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
When Bruce and I were young, we had the privilege of sharing together family reunions, and there were a lot of big families involved, and Bruce and I were reminiscing a little bit earlier today about some of those times, and music was a very big part of it, especially on our mother's side. And by the way, his mother was a sister to my mother, and you can see that Bruce got a little more of the musical gift than I did, but nonetheless, I'm not jealous, Bruce, and you, like me, married somebody that has a lovely, lovely voice. Thank you. Well, we enjoy a luxury here at Mayflower, and it's not just padded pews. We say thank you more times than we say please. And that is because of your faithfulness and your generosity. Yes, we all need to be continually challenged to do more, but we trust that to God. Thank you for your continued caring and sharing as we now offer to God the gifts of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Just a reminder, again, helpful at times, we conclude the pastoral prayer with the Lord's Prayer using the terms debt and debtors, debts and debtors, and we also give you opportunity to speak first names of anyone that's on your mind as a prayer request for somebody that you hold dear. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we come to worship today with more than a laundry list of prayers for all whom we love, the causes we champion, and the prayers for many around the world. We come expecting and then basking your invigorating presence, which provides the motivation and inspiration to cheerfully receive marching orders as we put our faith into action this week. We ask for a willingness to accept the challenge and to count the cost of discipleship, which is the most powerful force of love in this hurting world. Give us a desire to emulate our Lord, whose suffering was always on behalf of the well-being of others, including us. with that in our prayers for those who have suffered in the wake of wildfires, hurricanes, flooding, and vicious storms that happen right here in the Lansing area. Give us a spirit of sacrifice to help, volunteer, and give in our ultimately successful mission to change the world. May it begin with our own willingness to be changed. Thank you, Lord, for the beloved community called Mayflower, where we join in prayer for each other and for the family and friends we represent. Hear now our prayers as we mention the first names of those whose burdens we carry. Jen and Roy. Bless us now, O Lord, in the prayer we have received from our Lord, and we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. When today's passage is read, it would be easy for us to come to Peter's defense, as he simply tried to protect Jesus from suffering. While we all know that into every life a little rain must fall, Peter had to learn not only the reality of suffering, but its inevitability as we all courageously follow in the footsteps of Jesus, wherever that may lead. So hear now these words. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you may know that I grew up in a home with no television, but I always liked to go over to somebody's house on Friday night where I could watch cartoons on Saturday morning. Do you, any of you, remember doing that? Yes, for any of you younger folks, that was a tradition that I think went away some years ago. I haven't seen cartoons on Saturday morning. I guess you could get them on the Cartoon Network. Anybody still watch cartoons or want to admit it? Antenna TV. All right, thanks, Bob. That really helps. Antenna TV, I'm going to check that out.
As the same old
cartoon. Was Dennis the Menace ever a television cartoon? No. Does anyone want to take a guess as to when Dennis the Menace made it into the funny papers and in the newspaper? What year? Anybody want to just guess at that? 63. Well, believe it or not, it was quite a bit earlier than that. How about 1951? Dennis the Menace. And he was menacing in some of the questions he asked, but there's one question he asked that I found very interesting. When he asked his father, "Dad, why does everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die?" That's a good question. So understanding that question, I think we can all sympathize with Peter, who received a rather sharp rebuke from Jesus, whose words were perhaps overly harsh, to say the least. "Get thee behind thee, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." It might have, in today's vernacular, included the word hell. This, after such a great declaration of faith just before this rebuke, and you heard about that last Sunday if you were here, when Peter confessed who he thought Jesus was in answer to Jesus' question, and he offered this insightful response when he said, "You are the Messiah." In other words, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, in this response today that Peter gave, can you hear some compassion in Jesus or in Peter's voice? That he would not stand for the idea that his friend and Lord, Jesus, would suffer at the hands of respected religious leaders and then be killed? Weren't those words of protection for one whom he adored and worshiped, who might be prevented from suffering? After all, do we not do that for our children especially, and all of our families and our friends? We want to protect everyone we can from suffering. Indeed, that's part of the ministry of the church. So, we can sympathize and empathize with Peter, to say the least. But Matthew forces us to consider why the rebuke, why the call to suffer, to deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and take the road less traveled, even rarely traveled, and why that would be appealing. Is this radical call to Christian discipleship worth it? That question cannot be answered until we at least make an attempt to place ourselves in Peter's shoes and understand what the cross might have meant in his day and time. Take a look at this cross here. And I'll just ask you, without asking for an answer, what goes through your mind when you see the cross? Think of all the ways it is used as a symbol, none the least of which is in most churches, Protestant churches having an empty one, Catholic churches usually having Jesus on the cross. There's a theological difference there. Nonetheless, crosses are beautiful. And I think our cross is beautiful, isn't it? It was made more beautiful several years ago, if I get the story right, when a woman named Blanche, a formidable figure around here for years, insisted that the glass blocks, were they glass at one time? Concrete, were covered with the beautiful wood, enhancing its beauty and its significance. Thank you, Blanche. I had the privilege of doing the eulogy at Blanche Samohavitz's funeral. Many people wear the cross as a necklace. Perhaps some of you have worn one today, as a symbol of belief, identity, or a witness of faith. Some people carry a cross in their pockets to serve as a reminder. When I drive between my home and this church, I pass several crosses along the roadway denoting places where unfortunate tragedies have taken place, automobile accidents, and where crosses are there by those who have refused to forget. At Arlington National Cemetery, where I have been, and I'm sure many of you have, near the site of the Eternal Flame, near the burial site of President John Kennedy, is a simple cross on the site of his deceased brother, Robert Kennedy, who met the same tragic fate and whose death came 5.5 years after his brother. Now, all these and many other uses of the cross are well and good and can serve useful purposes. But to Peter and the disciples, these symbols of ours would be unrecognizable and absolutely meaningless. To the disciples, the cross was not a symbol, a reminder, an ornament, a gravestone, or a metaphor. It was a daily reality. The cross, to the disciples, was not something in which to believe, but a moment in time when they learned how to believe. It was a moment when calling yourself a Christian made you hesitate. The disciples lived in a time when people were regularly crucified. It wasn't only our Lord who was crucified. To challenge the political and religious establishment of the day would inevitably lead to crucifixion. Jesus knew that, and I think Peter knew that too, but who had a monumental lapse, a moment of spiritual amnesia. The disciples, including Peter, lived in a world where immeasurable suffering was a fact of life. He had seen those blind beggars staggering up the temple steps just to get a glimpse of Jesus. They witnessed a woman who bled for 12 years, reaching out just for the hope to be able to get close enough to touch Jesus' garment. Peter would have seen lepers cut off from all human contact and witnessed the only human being ever to treat them as equals, touch them, and offer them healing and hope. Peter would have certainly seen all manner of human suffering, including the mentally ill, the demon-possessed, and thousands of hungry people who were fed when compassion overtook Jesus, who did not want them to return home hungry, and who knew that empty bellies have no ears. Peter would have certainly heard Jesus recount the story of his own birth and infancy, when the very possibility of a challenge to Herod's throne, power, and privilege meant that all male babies in the kingdom were murdered. Peter and all the disciples knew the meaning of the cross. It was the moment when you are told that the life you thought you wanted, planned for, prayed for, was not the life that God had in mind for you. Peter resisted, and according to Jesus, became an instrument of the devil, Satan himself. We resist too, but just like Peter, we are given another chance. And it is in that chance we are defined. After listening to the searing words from the one whom we love, whom we adore, whom we sing about, who is the head of our church, and whom we worship. When we hear those words of rebuke, it is how we respond that defines who we shall be for the rest of our lives. Not that we would be perfect, or like Peter, not have some future lapses of memory, judgment, or discretion. But somehow I believe this moment for Peter was the time in which he understood that the cross was a willingness to live a life which would be lived for others, beyond those within his circle of family and friends. Like Peter, our tendency is to mask, eliminate, and avoid the painful and inevitable realities of suffering as a necessary part of human life and existence without denial. Now make no mistake, I am grateful for ibuprofen, aspirin, naproxen, and acetaminophen. And if Roger was here today, he'd have a whole much longer list. I am happy for pain clinics, gifted surgeons. I am grateful for Sparrow and McLaren hospitals, which in Jesus' time were non-existent. I am grateful that in the dying moments of loved ones, and perhaps even in my future, there is the modern drug called morphine that alleviated pain for my loving mother, making her exit to her promised and glorious future more peaceful and calm. But I'm also grateful for you, my church family, because of your love for Christ, who have sensitized me and others to the fact that we live in a world where, as Jesus puts it, we will always have the poor with us, and that human suffering is inevitable in spite of our best efforts to eliminate it. There will always be suffering, and we could hear a cacophony of stories if we went around the room today. Even if our righteous efforts to mitigate it, even with our efforts to mitigate it or reduce it, no generation has ever lived that did not have war. And we have lived in a century, sometimes unnoticed, just past, that was the bloodiest century in history. Our church family has helped us realize that we live in a world where there are always painful realities, where drug lords dominate the lives of those without the support, hope, and opportunities many of us enjoy, and where children are drawn into the clutches of sex traffickers who need to be stopped and brought to justice. That we live in a world where poverty claims an enormous toll on the infant mortality rate, and subsequently we send baby boxes and provide services that offer a ray of hope in a war-torn, weather-beaten, earthquake-ridden, and gang-weary country like Haiti. And that we live within mere blocks where people are desperate for the basic necessities of life and who need our help. A world where we make ourselves aware of the need to support young families, bringing their children to school every day where they can be safe, fed, educated, and loved, not only with faithful teachers and staff, but with a caring church and community-oriented family right across the street. We have been reminded of the needs and concerns of our neighborhood, hosting its meetings and participating in solutions for its problems, even though they sometimes seem elusive. Where we listen and support missionaries which minister to the needs of refugee children around the world who not only need to be housed and fed, but educated. I really feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but all the while realizing the need for all of us to suffer the rebuke of our Lord when our quest for comfort, isolation, and ease is checked at the door of our church, and where we practice the life-giving witness of our compassionate Lord by assuring one another of our love and commitment to support each other, and where we can, in our common mission, listen, share, laugh, and eat with one another, cheerfully and sometimes hilariously. Where understanding precludes judgment, where forgiveness replaces resentment, where love quenches hate, and where it is possible and even mandatory to accept responsibility for the pain and sorrow of our neighbors and the world, all the while experiencing the abundant life of joy and fellowship within the beloved community promised by the same Lord who sometimes rebukes, chastens, and disciplines. In this passage, we're reminded that a simple declaration of faith and belief does not make us a faithful follower of Christ. When we bear the cross, it is not simply to take us off the hook for our own complicity in an unjust world, but rather to motivate us into active resistance, not a passive acceptance of the status quo. Suffering for the cause of Christ is not to passively put up with abuse or injustice at the hands of political or religious power, or the power exercised unjustly, sometimes by the members of our own families. The cross of Jesus Christ represents our determination to stand against power that silences protest, privilege that oppresses and blames innocent victims of economic inequality, systemic racism, and all those whom the world would crucify. The cross of Jesus Christ brings more resolve to courageously renounce systems, institutions, and leaders who choose themselves over others, even leaders in the church, rather than to bless those for whom they serve. The cross does not mean we choose death, but we choose a path which leads to life, even in the face of death. Jesus did not choose to die in spite of that which he knew was inevitable, but rather, Jesus chose a life and a life-giving way which always carries with it the possibility of physical death, while offering to us the promise of a spiritual life which knows no end and has no limits. In this blessed sacrament, when we share the communal meal offered by our Lord, who suffered for us, let us hear the words of an old hymn which reminds us of our participation in the eternal cause of righteousness and love, which shall never be borne alone. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Thanks be to God. Let's eat, let's share, let's enjoy. Amen.
You can see we are repeating the picnic style from last week. It was, from most of the comments we've heard, popular. We may not continue this, but this is a result of the sermon that I preached a month ago when Jesus fed the 5,000 and there were baskets. And so everything will be pretty much the same, but it'll be a little more bread and a little more juice than usual. You have your communion ritual in front of you. Let us share together, beginning with our confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask for your forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son. Amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. So, it is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I'll ask the servers to come forward. Thank you, Marcia, Lorraine, Ruth, and Gail. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. We'll receive the bread. We'll ask all of you to hold it until all are served. On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat. I forgot to serve the servers, but we'll do that now. The bread of life. Ruth? And Gail. Got yours. All right. Now, if you haven't consumed, it's time to eat. And now you'll be served the cup. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink. Now we share together in the great thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another. Through him, our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you, servers. God bless you.
Thank you.
would be remiss if I didn't mention some who were faithfully filling in. Oh, that's not really the right word, but nonetheless, they filled in our absence. So Barb, thanks for your wonderful work on the piano. And Lorraine always helping things go smooth in the absence of the regular guy. But now we're going to have another regular guy whose name is Art, and he will be with us next week and many Sundays following. There are two wonderful things among many others that we do preeminently in the church. We weep and suffer with those who weep and suffer. And we rejoice and laugh with those who rejoice and laugh. May it be so as we tread this journey into our neighborhoods, our community, our nation, and this world for the cause of love, the cause of Christ. Go in peace. Amen.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to go on vacation and then really look forward to coming home. And home for us is right here, folks, the Mayflower Church, so it's good to be back with you. A lot of wonderful things happening this fall, but a wonderful thing is going to happen right now as we continue in worship in a place called the Friendship Center as we share and eat, sup, break bread with one another. If you can stay, we strongly urge you to do that. If not, we'll say goodbye. I'll go to the back so nobody gets out without at least a hello. Go in peace. We'll see you soon.